Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live, weekdays at 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to NPR News with Angela Davis. Yeah, with the surge in the daily number of COVID-19 cases in Minnesota, it's certainly looking like it's going to be a long, socially distanced and isolating winter. Walking and hiking and biking in the snow is not for everybody. Some folks prefer to be indoors and to keep busy inside. I don't know about you, but I've had more than enough screen time and I've run out of movies and TV series I want to watch. I'm ready to try something new or brush up on skills I used to have when I was a kid. Indoor hobbies like quilting, scrapbooking, and knitting might seem old-fashioned, but with a long pandemic winter ahead keeping us away from our friends, maybe it's time these traditional crafts come back into the mainstream. I have two guests on the line right now, a quilter and a scrapbooker, to talk about their work and to share advice on how inexperienced people can get started on their own hobbies. And feel free to call in. The phone lines are open. What hobbies have you gotten into during the pandemic? And are there any you want to try this winter? Give me a call. The number is 651-227-6000. Tweet me at Angela Davis, NPR, to join the conversation. Let's get started. My guests today include Cece Lewis, a fiber artist and a quilter who teaches at Textile Center in Minneapolis. Hi there, Cece.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. We also have on the line Marnie Steltz. Marnie is the owner of Pine City Scrapbooking Company in Pine City. Hi, Marnie.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing okay. So
great.
I want to start with you, Marnie. What has it been like running a craft store during the pandemic? Have you been busy?
It's been interesting, for sure. We had our shutdown there, of course, when the pandemic started. But after we opened back up, people were very excited to get back into their crafts.
So for people who don't have a clear image of what scrapbooking involves, describe it for us. What are we talking about here?
Well, traditionally, it's if you've got a vacation, or if you have birthdays or children, sporting events, whichever, to document the years. We also have them at their gardens, their recipes, things like that. So scrapbooking is pretty much just like it was back in the day when we were kids and putting just your cute little memorabilia into albums.
And so what kind of materials do I need for it? Because not everybody did this when they were little. So I'm really trying to paint a picture here. What materials would you be pulling from to create this?
Right. Well, we always say if somebody's starting their scrapbook, pick your event. So let's say you would like to document your child's 13th birthday. You pick those photos, print them out, and then I always tell the customers, bring the paper with you or bring the pictures in with pick out your paper. It's easier to match. And then you need a good quality adhesive and a paper trimmer and a photo album, and you can get right to work. It can be as easy as that. And then you can, as you progress in the craft, you can add, stickers, buttons, sequins, all that fun stuff. But to get you started, you basically just need paper and glue.
And are you finding, I'm sure a lot of people are looking at old photos maybe, but some people,
yes.
are they choosing to create memorabilia, or they're taking things about now? Are they scrapbooking about the pandemic and how life has changed?
Exactly. They are. We were fortunate that while we had the shutdown, our the industry was busy at work doing pandemic paper. So we actually have, I believe it's 5 different lines of pandemic paper to choose from and several different styles of paper. So it's
what's pandemic paper? What is pandemic paper? What is that?
Right. It's just paper to go with the times. So some paper has face masks on, some of the paper has toilet paper on.
The images.
Exactly. Sorry. Yes, the images. And yeah, it's super cute. So there's cute sayings on them like quarantini and homeschool, all these things that we didn't even think about before. Yeah, they incorporated into different styles of paper.
Well, Cece, let's talk with you. You've been a fiber artist for many years. Explain what that is. What is being a fiber artist entail?
Working with fibers. Working with fibers and using the fibers to make it an expression, to do what artists do, which is express themselves.
So do you mean do you mean like cloth or?
Yes, I mean cloth because that's what I work with. But there are other people who are going to use other materials and use many of the same techniques as we use making a quilt. Mm-hmm. What comes to mind is somebody that would take and layer metal and stitch it together.
Oh, wow.
A quilt typically is going to be 3 layers.
And
2 parts on the outside and something in the middle.
Yeah. And Cece, I'm curious, how did you get into this craft?
Okay, we can go right into COVID-19 very easily on this one. So I lived here in Minnesota when I was very young, but I literally came up on the West Coast. So I came back here in 1993 because my father's wife died and he had Alzheimer's. So I moved here and I spent 4 years taking care of him. So I would characterize that as living through isolation. So this pandemic that we're going through right now is something that I adjusted to a long time ago. And so the reason I started quilting was because I'm in the house. I'm not used to snow. I'm cut off from the job I've had for years and the place that I lived. And in here was somebody who never remembered that I was his daughter. So I started ordering craft books. And one of the books was The Joy of Quilting. And I thought I was making quilts up until then, because I am a garment maker since I was a child. Mm-hmm. But what I found out is that I was not making quilts. I was making comforters. So
it's the big difference. What's the big difference, though? Tell me.
I was taking 2 big pieces of something and putting batting between it and putting the quilting stitches through it. Quilts that I learned about are pieced quilts, and there were none of those in my family. Mm-hmm. So I learned a lot from looking at the book. I rushed around the corner to a quilt store, bought some stuff, came home, washed, ironed, and cut my pieces out. And this is according to the pattern in the book I got. And then I put it in a paper bag because I found this 9-degree ruler and I lost my mind. I made my own designs. And then when it came time to quilt the finished piece, I did not like pushing it through the harp of my domestic sewing machine. So I got a long arm machine. And that's the big machine. You put the big quilt on and roll it up and just do the quilting stitches.
So Cece, I'm curious, what is it like? I mean, what do you love about making quilts and you know, working with fabrics, dyeing fabrics? What is it doing for you in terms of just, you know, your emotional health?
Okay, I can explain it well because I had to yesterday in a Zoom class that I'm teaching at the Textile Center. And we're making something that is termed a reliquary. So our reliquaries are not made of stone. They're made of textiles. They're made of fibers. And so it is about structure. But at its most basic, I want the participants, and all of us have to be 55 and over. All of us are digging deep to find something to express within our reliquary or perhaps on the outside of it. Reliquaries are structures that have historically been used to conceal or reveal something. So I was talking about how I'm approaching the one I'm doing in class, and I've returned to piecing. I haven't done it for several years. And in the piecing, the act of measuring, cutting, and putting those pieces together, it causes a shift in my consciousness. And the pandemic disappears. I live a few blocks from where George Floyd was killed. That goes away. Any stress, a pile of bills rattling in my inbox, none of that bothers me because of this shift. I'm concentrating on what I'm doing.
Because you have to focus on what's happening with your fingers and be very specific and detailed with,
it is
with your hands.
Meditative. Mm-hmm. It is meditative. And so for projects, whenever I'm working with people, the first thing I want to remind them is it's not as much about the technical skills. You will gain those as you practice, but it's about the intention. Why are you making something? And so for a quilt, traditionally, quilts may wrap a new baby to welcome them into the world. Okay. What's holding these pieces together are stitches. Stitches are a language. It's an old, eloquent language that you can find that runs through our history on this planet. I don't care what continent. I don't care what culture or what era. We use stitches. So those go into quilts. And I like to sew. It's a meditative act for me.
I like it. I want to remind you, the phone lines are open, and we're talking about indoor hobbies. What hobbies have you gotten into during the pandemic, and are there any that you would like to try this winter? You can give me a call at 651-227-6000. Share some ideas with us. Tell us what you're doing at home. Tweet me at Angela Davis, NPR, to join the conversation. Let's grab a phone call right now from one of our listeners in Minneapolis. Meeks is on the line. Good morning to you, Meeks.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
So I guess I, since the pandemic and everything, I guess since February, I just quit my job in January, and I worked in retail in Minneapolis. So I guess I like just missed all that essential work stuff. But I have basically been making up games at home with my cats and with like my roommate, and assigning myself school subjects, media school subjects, and journaling, and kind of gone into 2008 emo kids sad cyborg mode, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
And so are you just looking for something to take your mind off of the stress of the day?
Yeah, I'm someone who suffers with ADHD, and so I am like the master of distraction in some cases. So I've been inventing a drum game that I'm trying to kind of get together using like all the pieces of like arts and crafts laying around my house. It kind of almost looks like an adult daycare in a way, but it's been full of distractions, and I'm just like constantly trying to learn things every day.
Right.
And listen to music that makes me happy.
I love that. Me too. I've been listening to a lot of music. That's Meeks in Minneapolis talking about indoor hobbies. What can help us pass the time during this long winter? Quilting? Is it scrapbooking? Tell us. Let's talk to Emily in Minneapolis. Emily, are you still there? Emily, are you there?
I'm here. Hi.
I can hear you. What are you doing? What have you taken up during the pandemic?
Well, I've taken up stained glass window making again.
How do you learn how to do that?
Oh, well, there's this place in South Minneapolis called Glass Endeavors, and they offer these classes. And so I just went and took a refresher class, and I'm kind of going nuts with buying glass and cutting out patterns and making windows. And it's so satisfying, and it's a lot easier, you know, than people think. And the finished product is so beautiful, you know, in your windows. And yeah, it's been great.
And
I'm loving it.
And so how often, how many hours a day, and what does it do for you?
Well, it depends. I've done a couple really easy windows, and they can take some time because you have to cut the glass, which is, you might think it's difficult to do, but once you get the knack of it, it's pretty easy. And then you have to grind the pieces and then foil them. So you can spend quite a few hours each day working on a window. And then you look forward to your next project too. So,
and then it must be fun to look at too, right? Like visually, it's beautiful. Or do you make some of these and give them away?
Well, I haven't given them away. Some people have said they'd buy them. It just makes me feel good to see the accomplishment of starting with pieces of glass and then having this beautiful window. And I've also done quilting too. I'm in the middle of making some quilts for my kids, and so I have a couple different things going on.
Yeah, that's nice. That's Emily in Minneapolis. I have another guest we can talk to right now as we look for ideas on what we can do to keep ourselves busy indoors this winter during the pandemic. Jonathan Meyer is joining us, and Jonathan is the manager at Hub Hobbies Richfield location. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay. So tell us about the store. I've never been to Hub Hobby. What's going on there?
Well, we've been in business for over 40 years. We've got actually two locations, one in Richfield, one in Little Canada. We basically do every traditional hobby, you know, model trains, radio control, model rockets, plastic models. But then we also just do a lot of other varied things, a lot of scientific items, a lot of plush. So just lots of great indoor things.
Board games?
Lots of board games. Board games have been incredibly popular. Jigsaw puzzles, incredibly popular.
Let's talk about the puzzles. I've read news reports that there's been a huge interest in puzzles, beginning in March when the pandemic really started becoming a problem.
Yes, enormous. In fact, during the shutdown, our web sales of puzzles shot through the roof. I remember coming in on a Monday morning and having to help basically me and two other people pack up. I think it was probably 200 orders, and we've usually done zero orders. So
so what do you think that's about, the intrigue with puzzles? Why do people enjoy putting, puzzles together?
Yeah, what's old is new again sometimes. It's a great thing that can bring a couple, a family together, or even just a couple people together. I started giving them out as gifts and had great feedback on that. I think it's just a good way to, get away from the screen and enjoy a little bit of just time with your family. Mm-hmm. Putting something together that, you can pick the complexity. You can pick a 500 piece, you can pick a 100 piece. You can do it in an afternoon, you can make it take a week. Mm-hmm. So it's, you can kind of make it your own.
And then you wait for someone to knock it over and you start all over again.
Well, or I've got a lot of family members that decided to put them back in the box and then just kind of re-gift them.
Right. That's nice.
Some people, they'll go over them with the glue and actually mount them and hang them. And other people will put them back in the box and say, this is someone else's thing to try now.
So as we talk about things that are selling, board games, puzzles, what else is seems to be selling a lot, or what are people interested in?
Anything you can build. Plastic models have been very popular. Some of the radio-controlled car kits, we usually do a lot of ready-to-run, but the kits specifically. So I think people are just looking for something to do to disconnect a little bit and, use their hands. Mm. So those things have been very popular.
And anything that you would recommend for people who have small children, anything you'd recommend for older folks?
For smaller children, if they want to get into some modeling, there are lots of snap-together models that don't really require glue and paint. I mean, some people do paint and glue them if they want to add that little bit more detail.
Models of what? Like cars and trucks?
Cars, trucks. We sell this line of product called Gundam, which is a very, it's like a Japanese anime figures that have just crazy popular. And those are all snapped together and those are all pre-colored. So you don't necessarily have to get out the glue and have to get out the paint. So there's very basic, easy ones. And then we have a lot of adults that are into those as well. So we have some very complicated ones as well. So those are good for both age groups, actually.
And so at Hub Hobby's Richfield location there, is your store getting busier now that the weather is changing? We're spending a lot of people spending a lot less time outdoors and they're moving inside. Have you noticed a change?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the store has actually been a lot busier with the pandemic. So we've been busier. We normally do see a slight shutdown when it gets cold, and then of course it ramps up going into Christmas. Mm-hmm. So like our weekends remain incredibly busy. During the week it's steady. It's definitely busier than past years. And the cold does start bringing people in, and our interest in the store start changing. You sell a lot of outdoor things as well, and obviously a lot of that shifts to indoor activities.
And can I look through some of the items you have for sale on a website, or do I need to come into the stores there, either in Richfield or Little Canada?
Our website is actually really, really good. We put a lot of effort into that since the shutdown so that we could offer that option. So yes, the website's very good, but then we are allowing indoor shopping, so you can come in and take a look. And then of course we do curbside. So anybody that doesn't necessarily want to come in the store, We do, you know, we'll sell over the phone. We'll even sometimes get on video chat. And then, of course, the website. They can, you know, have it shipped to them or they can pick it up at the store.
All right. Well, I like these ideas. I like to know what other folks are doing inside their homes right now. That's Jonathan Meyer, a manager at Hub Hobbies Richfield location. They also have a store in Little Canada. Thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. If you're just joining us, we're talking about indoor hobbies, things we can do inside this winter. Because not everybody wants to be out in the snow and the cold. But also, many of us have gotten a little tired of all the screen time and we're looking for some new hobbies to take up. So we're getting ideas from our callers and from our guests as well. In Fargo, let's take a phone call. This is Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
Yes. Just real quick. We're kind of, as dads, got kind of bored and stuff, and so we decided to you do your housework, and now it's getting colder and it's a good time to do it. So myself and four other dads got together, bought a bunch of different types of sewing machines along with that long arm one, and we're putting up a quilt, making a quilt. We're gonna make five of them for each family and for our kids as a memory sake.
Oh, that's nice.
And so the first patch, you know, we all drew it out. We had the kids' inputs, of course. And then the first patch, for example, is the kids' names and birth dates. And so we've got about nine kids on this first patch. And then each dad does a different patch. Or we kind of... like, okay, your sewing machine works better for doing names. Your long arm obviously can attach the pieces together. And then we're going to make all five of them. We've already got three of them complete, so we only got two left.
I love this, Jerry.
And
so
these are large ones that you can either hang on the wall or use as a blank.
On the bed. Mm-hmm. Nice. So, Jerry,
they're all fluffy.
Who has the sewing skills? Did all of these dads know how to sew? Was there one of you who knew how to sew and taught the others?
No. We just decided, we all saw our grandparents doing it. And we decided, if you've got a question, we'll either go to YouTube or ask someone that does. Or the sewing shops are great for... mm-hmm. Education too, you know. We had a issue with tension on the thread, or what type of thread to do for certain parts, learn as you go.
Those are going to be wonderful gifts for your kids. Thank you. That's Jerry and Fargo, a group of dads making quilts. I love it. In Northfield, let's talk to she identifies herself as Grandma Phyllis. I guess I can call you that. Hello, Grandma Phyllis.
Well, hi, Angela. I'm so happy today to talk with you. I listen to your show every day, and your
voice
is so clear and concise, and you are such a good person to speak with people. So this is fun for me at age 89.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, Grandma Phyllis, I don't have many great skills when it comes to arts and crafts, so maybe you can help me with that. What are you doing in your home?
Well, I'm not good at that, but it relates to your program, I think. Mm-hmm. I have had what's called a greeting card ministry for many years, but I've always loved to entertain with my husband, who's been gone 24 years, the music man of Northfield. But anyway, I'm looking forward to now actually sending out more greeting cards to people in my lives from when I was young to up to the present time. Our friendly St. Peter's Church has a prayer ministry that comes over the tablets that we have. Mm-hmm. And so I've been sending cards to them. And Angela, when we go to our mailbox and we see all the junk mail that's called, it is so fun and nice and uplifting for people to find a hand-addressed letter, a greeting card. And in the greeting card, I try to find, I make copies of many pictures so that I have a copy of a picture from that person's past that I can affix to the blank side of the inside of the card. A lot of the cards have the blank sides. Mm-hmm. And it's fun for me. And I think I've heard from people that it's a blessing for them to actually get that the mail.
Yes, Grandma Phyllis, I can speak to that. You're right. Lots of junk mail right now. But when you go through your mail and you do see that card and you can see like, oh, this is like someone's handwriting and it's on pretty paper and you open it up and there's lots of pretty images. It's a gift. It's a joyous gift. And so are you hearing back from people who've received some of these cards?
Yes. In fact, sometimes they will actually sit down and write the letter, mm-hmm. With the modern way of just going on Facebook and so on and just saying congratulations on your birthday. That's
right.
Fine. I'm not denigrating mm-hmm. that, of course, but it is just really nice to get that mail. And then they say, oh, it was so nice to get your letter. And I get to crisp $2 bills from the bank, and a lot of times I put in that crisp $2 bill. And
now, that's extra,
say,
Grandma Phyllis. That's extra.
It's extra. One mother said, my young son, when he did get a card from me, said, Mom, is this fake money?
Oh, it's real.
He didn't know you could use it for candy or whatever. So
it's real and rare. Thank you.
And Northfield has a laughter ambassador, Lisa Weiss, and I booked her twice at St. Peter's Church. And it's so important now in this pandemic to be able to laugh. Just laughing. And when I hear your laugh, I laugh with you when you laugh.
Well, thank you. That's Grandma Phyllis calling in from Northfield, who has started a greeting card ministry. Let's take another phone call as we talk about indoor hobbies that we're doing to get through the pandemic that we can share with other folks. Maybe you want to take up something new to get you through the long weeks and days ahead. In Minneapolis, Abe is on the phone. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning, Angela. And when we're out the air, if you could give Grandma Phyllis my address, that'd be great.
We'll try to work that out. What do you suggest doing? What have you been doing with your time?
Well, I'm not nearly as handy as all the folks you've talked to today, but I've taken up something not tangible, and I've started learning about documentary filmmaking and mm-hmm. Film editing software. There's so much to learn that it'll for sure get me through a dark, cold winter.
I like that. Yes, documentary making. There are lots of classes and courses. Are you learning by watching videos, or how are you learning?
I'm learning by every means available, but I'm also taking classes through the wonderful Film North. That's based in Minneapolis, and all of our classes are held via Zoom. And I'm currently taking a short documentary making class through them, which is so informative.
I like that. Thank you. That's Abe in Minneapolis. To our guest, Marnie Steltz, they are the owner of Pine City Scrapbooking Company. Marnie, people are putting pictures of postcards on my Twitter feed. Are folks making a lot of postcards? And how do you make those jazzy and special?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Greeting cards, postcards, that's been really huge since the pandemic. I think everybody's trying to keep connected. And so any way you can send that little personal greeting in the mail, like Grandma Phyllis was talking about, it just brings such joy to people's lives that, yeah, paper crafting and all of that is just, yeah, it's a win-win for everybody.
All right. I'm also seeing on Twitter, Kathy writes, I've started making sourdough bread. It's been a challenge as it is both an art and a science. Baking, yes, that is actually an art and a science. It's given me purpose, and I love sharing my creations with others. Also, a lot of folks talking about, painting. Sarah writes, watercolor painting. I like that. Thousands of free beginner tutorials on YouTube, learning how to paint again. And Cece, as you heard the dads talking about making quilts. What do you think about that?
I loved it.
Isn't that great?
That made me really happy. What was interesting is that they approached it without previous sewing skills using machines.
Like, we figured
it
out.
And I liked it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I would suggest to your listeners, there are a number of ways you can learn things. There's YouTube for those that are not sick of their screen time.
lots of good stuff on YouTube.
And there are books.
And books.
And don't forget the Textile Center Minnesota. We have Zoom classes.
Excellent.
And we teach all manner.
The music is coming. That means our time is up. But thank you. I love all the suggestions. Cece Lewis, a teaching artist there at the Textile Center in Minneapolis, and Marnie Steltz, the owner of Pine City Scrapbooking Company, joining us from Pine City today as we explore ideas of what to do indoors this winter. Be safe, everybody. Have a good weekend. Today's conversation was produced by NPR's Katie Moritz and Karen Zamora.
You just heard a recording of a live radio show from NPR News. To add your voice to the conversation, you can call in at 651-227-6000 or tweet us at Angela Davis NPR. And if you missed us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. Thanks for listening.